Interview Federal Marshal Ron Donnell about his role in the eviction of Barbara and Bobby Hebner. A little bit about what it takes to be a federal marshal. Do you need legal for an FBI agent? You need to have legal background, do you?
Yes. Now, of course, FBI agents are all civil service. Unless, of course, you get up into the higher echelons. With the marshal, the U.S. marshal per se, that individual position, that is a presidential appointed position. All the deputies and a chief deputy U.S. marshal are all civil service. For me to get the job that I presently have as U.S. marshal, I had to go through a screening, a background check. I had to have certain background qualifications. They're leaning towards, and of course it's not mandatory, but they're leaning towards law enforcement experience. But in my position, of course, I was former sheriff, I was former probation juvenile officer, and I had about 8.5 years experience before I was appointed U.S. Marshal.
Hmm. And when was that?
This was June of last year, 83.
I see. So you haven't, there's no rigorous training you go through? Right?
No. Once I was appointed, I've been to several training schools, mm-hmm. Seminars. Before I was even appointed, they took us down to Glencoe, Georgia, which is the Federal Law Enforcement Training Academy, for a week of training about the job. And most of it, U.S. Marshal is a one step higher than being a sheriff of a county. The jobs are pretty much the same, except with a marshal, it's on a bigger scale, larger scale. I'm taking care of 32 counties rather than just one like Hancock County. One nice thing is I don't have to collect taxes like the sheriff does here in the state of West Virginia. But it's just, it's basically the same job, except it's on a federal level.
But it specifically, it's to carry out or enforce the orders of the federal court?
That's one of the things.
Well, that's just one of the things.
Yeah, our primary responsibility is judicial security for the federal system. That's our primary responsibility. It's for the two federal judges, the bankruptcy, the magistrates, full-time and part-time magistrates. Our number one priority is their security. Other areas that we're responsible for are fugitive investigations and warrants, bench warrants that come out of court, process, and that's where this area that we're going to talk about today falls under. Civil and criminal process, we're responsible for those areas also. Plus, we have some dignitary protection programs that we do. We have special groups, special operations group. It'll be called in the busing issue. The Sky Marshals that you've heard about, you know, those all have originated. The most recent one, the FIST operations, where the state, local, and federal government worked together, and they apprehended, I think, 3,300 fugitives up in the northeastern part of the United States. Hmm. So those are programs that the United States Marshal Service is involved in.
I see. So, in the case of the Hebners, what was the whole procedure? Did the Corps come to the court with a complaint? Was that how it happened?
Okay, that's a legal matter, which I'm not real sure how it all developed. Of course, the U.S. Attorney's Office could answer that mm-hmm. that part of it, because they're the ones that handle the case for the Corps, since it is another government entity, you know. They're the representatives for the Corps. From what I understand, they ended up having several hearings on the matter, and a court order was issued that the Hebners were to be removed from that property, and the property was to be turned over physically to the Corps of Engineers. This is where we became involved. We received the court order, and then, of course, we have to carry out that court order.
Was what you received a writ of assistance?
I think that's what it was called, right?
That's what it mentioned it was. Mm-hmm. Do you know what it said?
Yes, just basically that the marshals were to turn that property over to the Corps of Engineers. If the Hevners were not moved from that property, then we were to move them and have them removed. And this is where the physical part of it came in.
Did it mention that they were the object of conversations in the community, or that they...
No.
Just simply that they were to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
I see. That's a tough order.
Sure. Anytime you're dealing with something like
order.
That, it's
yeah.
it's very difficult.
Yeah.
What I tried to do personally is try to handle it as humanitarian as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I contacted Mrs. Hevener by phone. She told me that she was not moving, that God had given her the divine right to stay there, and that she just wasn't going to go. And I said, well, I've got a court order. And she said, well, you're not higher than God. God has told me to stay here.
What did you think when she said that?
I thought I had real problems. I thought about contacting a minister to go out there. And I thought, well, I'll go out and personally talk to the woman. So I went out to the house and talked to her. Of course, she and her son cussed me out. She tried to kick me in the head because I was standing down about four steps from her.
The first time you went out, she
yeah.
tried to do that?
And, you know, I just tried talking to him, and I left my card and said, please give me a call once you settle down, and we'll talk about it. She never called, and I gave her till I was out there on October the 3rd, and I gave her till like the 12th or 14th, something like that, to move. And we didn't execute the writ until like the 23rd or 24th, somewhere near October. But I knew that she wasn't going to move after talking to her. She was convinced that she had a right to stay there, and that was it. So then the next step was to actually physically remove him from the property.
Did you think of using the minister then for that?
I had talked to individuals that said that her minister had talked to her. In fact, whenever I asked her who her minister was at one point in our conversation, she said, I have a lot of ministers. I had talked to some other people, mainly Corps people, who had been dealing with her all along. And they said, you know, she's not moving. The minister has talked to her. Other people have talked to her. They know the court orders out there. She's just not going to go. So, you know, the choice was to actually physically remove him. And I thought maybe if it got down to the, she actually knew we were going to remove her, that she would she'd say okay, mm-hmm. you know, and walk out of the house. She wouldn't do this. In fact, she prodded her son into fighting with us.
She provoked her son?
Yeah. Yeah.
What did she say to him?
The kid is well, I'd say he's almost borderline retarded from deprivation, not so much being born that way. But it was, you know, and I just told her, I said, you can control him if you would. And she wouldn't. And it was just, you know, he became very upset. And she just, she didn't do anything is one of the things that, you know, she could have controlled him, but she didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, and he kept saying, we lost. And she said, oh, no, we haven't. We haven't lost.
Lost?
Yeah, what he was referring to is they've lost the house. They've lost the battle. It's time to move. She said, no.
There's something about a dog in all of that?
Oh, yeah. he had a dog, and he wanted to know if we were going to take care of it. And I said, yeah, nothing's going to happen to your dog. And he said, well, if anything happens to my dog, he said, you'll pay. And I said, nothing's going to happen to your dog. We'll see that it's taken care of. So we tried to get a hold of the Humane Society, have him come out and pick up the dog, keep it, because we were going to have to move our household goods. It ended up, I think, a cousin or somebody came out and said they'd pick up the dog. So that was fine.
So there was some kind of a scuffle that ensued there?
Mm-hmm. In the home, he said he wasn't leaving. She said they weren't leaving. And I said, well, then we're going to have to take you out. At this point, he became very, very agitated. And I could see it. So I reached back, and I started handcuffing him. And that's when he slugged the officer.
Who did he hit?
The other officer with me, Bill Greenaway, mm-hmm. our inspector. And he hit him. And we ended up wrestling to the floor, handcuffed him, and then put him back in a chair. And she started up a couple times, and I had to tell her to stay back. And then even after this, she said, we're not leaving. And I said, yes, sure. So we got him cleaned up, got him dressed. She got dressed, and then we ended up taking him out.
There was a woman there, too?
Yeah, a matron.
Was that... Somebody thought it was Greenaway's wife?
Yeah, we used her as a matron.
Mm-hmm. Has she done that sort of thing before?
Not that I know of. She's a lawyer.
Oh.
By trade.
Huh. So you finally got them out of the house, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you put them in the same car then?
No. No, we put them in separate cars. Until we got down to the main road, and then we put them in one car and transport him to the county jail there.
Mm-hmm. What happened at the jail then?
I didn't know it, but her attorney was there. And one of the things that we did is we called the attorney, and they said that he was over at the jail. We tried to locate, we got a hold of the welfare department, had them come up, talk to him. Because I was still under the impression that they had not received any money or they were broke. So we made arrangements and ended up that a relative took them, you know, after several hours. You know, we got them something to eat there at the jail. And, although I don't think they ate.
Were they still in handcuffs?
No. Oh, no. Once we got them to jail, we took the cuffs off them. But that was for their protection as well as ours.
Oh, yeah,
because of the emotional state that they were in, who knows what they may do.
I'm a former probation officer, and I've been involved in transport.
You know, who knows what they may have tried to do as we were taking them off the property.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and our regulations say that anytime you transport somebody like that, they will be cuffed.
Sure, yeah.
And we use what we call a belly chain that keeps keeps the cuffs in front of them, but they can't raise them up where they could choke you or any other officer. And that's where the chains came in.
Standard equipment.
Yeah.
Standard practice.
Yeah, that's something that we use all the time.
Was the phone line cut?
Mm-hmm. I disabled the phone.
How did you do that? Did you have pliers? Or?
No, I just had a penknife. The reason I did that, I felt that it was more important that we kept that situation as calm and as stable as possible. And I knew that if she had an opportunity to call the association members or whatever, then we'd probably end up having a real fight on our hands. I tried to keep it as low-keyed as possible. That's why I only took one other officer, myself, and a matron. You know, I wasn't going in there with an army. And I knew if the call went out, they would have a battle on our hands. And a lot of people would end up getting arrested, and some people could possibly get hurt. So I told her, I said, once we get you off the property, you can call anybody you want.
So did she call anybody when she got to jail?
Mm-mm. No.
She refused to call anybody?
I don't think she requested it.
You must have felt just awful having to do this, huh?
Oh, yeah. That's a tough job. That's probably one of the toughest parts of our job. You know, displacing somebody from their home. You know, we are human beings. And
you grew up here in West Virginia, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Where?
Weirton. But it wasn't an easy day for me.
I'm sure it was a very tough thing to do.
It wasn't easy at all because, you know, you had to feel for the people that you were removing. But, you know, I had a job to do. And I tried to explain that to her, and she didn't make it any easier. And of course, there were some lies told along the way about her not having any money, not receiving any payment. You know, and it didn't make things any easier. But I really questioned it in my own heart, in my own mind. I thought, wow, this is tough.
Oh boy,
this is tough.
That was a tough one.
But, you know, it's easy for people to sit back and criticize you afterwards. But I'd say, well, the sheriff, for example, he really crucified us.
He did.
Oh, yeah. And I know Ralph was running for re-election. I can understand that.
What did he say?
Well, he was upset because we didn't come to his office and get him to go out there with us. Again, you know, my thought was to keep it as low-key as possible. But he was aware, and he even admitted that he knew that court orders had been signed for them to be off that property, and he didn't take the initiative. Same way with Snyder, Francine Snyder, I think. You know, she knew the court orders were issued, but they didn't take the initiative to get those people off. They wanted a confrontation.
The sheriff did?
No, not so much Ralph. I don't think Ralph wants any kind of confrontation, but I think the association wanted that confrontation.
Why?
The association's interested in making a real issue of the situation. It doesn't do them any good when the situation is low-keyed and handled to where there isn't a big splash in a newspaper and that type of thing. It doesn't help their cause at all. And I can understand that if I was fighting for that cause. You know, you'd want as much publicity as possible. You'd want to make a stand. Custard's last stand, or whatever you want to call it. And at the time, the Hefners just happened to be the issue.
Mm-hmm. Are there plans to similarly remove other people now? I don't suppose you'd be at liberty to talk about that.
I understand that there's some things in the works, but I'm not sure, and I won't know until we receive a court order. And if we receive a court order, then, you know, we'll have to carry the court order out.
This is not a strategy that's discussed by the court staff and so on, or is it, I'm trying to picture the procedure.
No.
The court.
See, we're not really involved in that legal battle. We're not attorneys. But when we receive a court order, then we carry it out. So it's not something that we're in the planning of it. It's different. We're part of the court family, but yet we're not really involved in legal battles. We're there to carry out the court orders. We're there for their court security. We're the law enforcement branch, more or less. Even though we're not part of the judicial system, you know, we're under Department of Justice, but we are given these orders, and of course our responsibility is to see that they're carried out the most effective and efficient way possible. You know, I mean, that's what we try to do.
So initially, you told her you would come on the 14th or something like that, and then you didn't do it.
I think it was the 12th or 14th, somewhere in there. No. I didn't, because I heard that there were some things in the works as far as people trying to get them out of there. And I tried calling her back a couple of times. One time the line was busy. No, both times the line was busy. So that told me that they were there. So I knew they hadn't moved.
But
I had checked with the Corps, and they said, no, they're still there.
So on the 23rd, though, the day you went over, did you call her that morning and tell her you were coming?
No.
You didn't. You figured it was more efficient just to show up.
Right. I figured it was better that way, and you know, I didn't want a battle.
No, of course.
I didn't want the media standing there and watching these mean old ogres taking these people out of in chains, because I knew that that's what it was going to get down to. I didn't want the Francine Snyders or the association people in there, because it would have meant we would have had to arrest some of them. So that meant I would have had to bring a show of force. You know, you don't need to do that. You know, and Mrs. Hebner and her son are not bad people. They're not bad people at all. They have certain convictions. And, you know, we're still not. I haven't received the final word as to whether we're to proceed on the arrest. But it's my feeling that, you know, it was an emotional situation and it should just be left go at that point in time. But we've sent a report to the U.S. attorney.
Oh, to proceed against the boy for resisting arrest, you mean?
Or yes, and sort of, and the mother, you know, in contempt of court order. Because that's, they were in, you know, they were both in contempt.
Sure. Clearly they were.
But, you know, it's my feelings just to let the thing go. But I don't make that decision. That's only personal.
Why do you think the Hebners were selected out of all the people who are still in the area? Here were two people who lived in an area that isn't even going to be flooded. It's in the recreation area, and the recreation area isn't due to open for a number of years. I don't know how many. Why do you think it was them?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
You have no idea?
No, sir. I'm not even real familiar, other than I have a brochure on that flood project area. But I, you know, Roanoke, I thought it was always in Virginia until I got some papers on it to serve over there. But I'm not, you know, that's not an area that we're responsible for. I think the Corps of Engineers and the U.S. Attorney's Office might be the ones you want to direct that question to.
You must have thought about it, though.
Oh, I think about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Again, that's not our area of responsibility. And, you know, I have a job to do, and it's like I wouldn't want the U.S. attorney walking in and saying, okay, this is the way I want you to do your job. Or I wouldn't want the judge to say, hey, do this, 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 and this. You know, he gives me the court order, we carry it out, and we do it the best way possible.
How you carry it out is up to your discretion.
That's my discretion. And, you know, I'm a human being. Sometimes I make bad calls. You know, that's my responsibility as U.S. Marshal.
Do you think you handled that situation well?
Personally, yes. But that may be my ego getting in the way. I don't know. But I think it was handled the best way possible. There's some things that that possibly I should have done prior to it, maybe sending out letters to each one of these individuals saying, all right, I've got a court order. Will you assist us on the thing and see that it's carried out? Although it's not really their responsibility. But, you know, if Ralph Hall wants that opportunity, sure, I'll call him and say, hey, Ralph. In fact, I've already, on one other situation, I've mentioned it to him and said, I understand a court order is coming through. If he's a friend of yours, will you get him out? And he told me, that he said, the guy, he's a squatter. You don't have to worry about him. He said, he won't move until you move in there and take him out. You know, people say that they aren't aware or they didn't know. They knew, I'm sure. But maybe I should personally make these calls and say, all right, I've got this. Will you help us and get them out? You know, and I want them removed by such and such a time. If not, then we'll have to come in and do it.
Yeah, it's really hard to know whether that, but even that would work.
Yeah, and I'm sure it wouldn't. Especially in this case where Mrs. Hefner was convinced that God told her to stay there.
Do you think she was sincere in that conviction?
Tell you what, I walked out of my cabin that morning that we were moving them. I have a place north of Elkins, and fell on some rocks and busted open my elbow.
Oh, man.
And it, as I was lying there on the ground, I looked up and said, maybe she has connections. I don't think I, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure she was convinced in her own mind. So but who's to say?
You think she was sincere about it?
Well, I want to believe that she was sincere. But a lot of times people use God like they use anything else. You know, some people use God as they use drugs, you know, as a crutch, and lay it off, or as they use alcohol or something like that. And I'm hoping that that's not what she's doing. But that's a question that we'll never know. Only she knows.
Well, I've already taken more of your time than I said I would.